Lori Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. And I'm in a different location this morning. I decided to record from my home office, and I've been avoiding my home office for a couple of reasons. But number one is I got a new desk. My husband loves to go to estate sales. I guess they're a little bit better than yard sales, but because there's some nice stuff at them. It's the search and the win. And he likes to negotiate. That's just what he does. He's a real estate broker, so he does that for a living. So he buys things that we don't even need, and he brings things home. And I'm like, well, where are we going to put that? And so it's quite funny. I actually have a great story. He went to an estate sale and he brought me home a coat. It's kind of like a nice lined raincoat. It's really nice. And so it was just, I didn't really need it, but it was a nice thing to have and it fit me perfectly. Then come to find out that the estate sale, it was an estate of a woman who poisoned and killed her husband and was going to prison. So I can say honestly that I've never worn that raincoat. It's sitting in the closet, never to be worn, because who wants to wear? I mean, I do not want to wear. Isn't that silly though? Kind of silly. If I didn't even know, I would probably have worn it. But anyways, that's my story about my segue about my why I've been avoiding my office. In my office, I got this beautiful desk, and I've put a photo of it on social media. It's a beautiful desk. It's got the desk part, and then it's got bookshelves that are attached. But the problem is that my computer, it's not ergonomically, like, it gives me kind of like a backache when I use it. I had a desk before that had tray that pulled out, and I really liked it. So, but this one has its advantages, right? Because it has bookcases and it's got more storage in the bottom part. So I found this, I don't know what to call it. I guess it's just like a computer table. But it's kind of lets you put your computer on it, and you can raise it and lower it, and it comes out of the, it's hard to describe. I'll take a picture of it and put it on my stories. But it's kind of heavy, which is good because it's sturdy, but it allows me to arrange my computer in a way in which it can be ergonomically correct. So I'm back in my office. I'm like really happy about it. I also have it's kind of an electric fireplace that I got for Christmas one year from my husband, and it's something that he didn't get at a garage sale. And I like it because it keeps my feet warm in the morning. So I'm recording this podcast episode in a different location. I also have my glasses on. So if you're catching this on YouTube, you're like, she looks different. I have my hair straight today and I have my glasses on. So it's, you know, I just am doing something, changing it up. But today I'm bringing you another abundance episode. And this one is the reason why I wanted to do this one today is because I'm doing this free series, my video series, Ignite Your Second Half Soul, right now. And tonight's lesson or video that we're going to be talking about is, because there's like 6 training videos. This one tonight is about authenticity. So authenticity, and this will be aired tomorrow. So it'll, by the time you're listening to it, if you listen to it the first day it airs, it'll be last night's training. But we're going to talk about authenticity and how important it is to not wear a mask, to recognize when you're not showing up
as yourself and why you are doing that. Why are you doing that? Because you want to please other people? Are you doing it because you want to be accepted? That's usually pleasing other people. Is it fear? Is it, what is it? Because you just think you have to be that way to survive, to live the world, the societal expectations. So it's really important that you live authentically, that you find out who you really are at your core. And that's a lot of the work that I do, because I think you won't find true joy until you do that. And you don't want to hide who you really are, because we think we won't be accepted when in fact we're not revealing our real selves. And so maybe we're actually being accepted, but we're being accepted by the people that don't make us the happiest. And so in reading the Simple Abundance book, which I love, and I use this for a lot of my episodes, one of the things she talks about, and it's funny how she puts it in this perspective, but she has these six tenets of abundance, and one of them is order. And so this month, every 2 months, she talks about one of the six tenets. And so this is one of the months she's talking about order. So she talks about your house being in order, and you think, how can she fill up 60 days of like talking about order? But it's really, she just goes into these kind of side explanations, and she just makes it so, every little lesson is so powerful, and they kind of, it flows. So at first, when she was talking about order, she was talking about how clutter, you know, can reveal, like, we need order in our house. And if we just were to straighten up like a coffee table, it doesn't have to be perfectly pristine, but sometimes order, when we feel abundant, we feel more, you know, abundance is all about feeling more joyful, looking for the good and all that kind of stuff. But think about your feeling when you go into a cluttered place. I know that, like, when I see my coffee table, like, all in disarray, it just like gives me a little angst. You know, if I just like sit there and like straighten the things on the coffee table, then all is good in the world kind of feeling. It's like, oh, I feel so much happier, more abundant. But I never thought of that in an abundant way. So she moves on and she talks about how, and when I think of what I want to say in these episodes, I try to tie them into, you know, what's going on in my life. I'm doing this training, what I think my audience needs. And it's also a way for me to go back to the material and look at it from almost a teaching perspective. Like, I'm going in and actually researching, and these episodes take a little bit of a prep time, more than my interview episodes. My interview episodes are just like push record and just talk to the people. And so that's super easy. And this has been really fun, because it's, you know, this is my year of abundance. I'm really trying to operate from a state of abundance. And just by doing these episodes and researching at a deeper level, the lessons I'm learning through this book, it has been really, really joyful for me. And so I took a few of her little, cause she does this, you know, stories a day. And so I took a few, like maybe three of them, and tied them together and decided that I was going to talk today about your house of authenticity. I'm not sure what I'm going to call the title yet. I have a few working titles that I've jotted down, but I'll decide before we publish. But it really is about, and then I was thinking, I was lying in bed this morning, I was thinking, it's almost like a house or a home. House being maybe not as authentic as it should be, and a home as like your true authentic place. And I love my home. My home is authentically me. It's casual. It's open. It's welcoming. It's friendly. It's warm. I said to my husband, and this is before I even had the idea for this episode, said to my husband the other day, because, you know, it's real estate market's crazy right now. And we're talking like this house would sell in an instant, and we would probably make a bunch more than we normally would. And you think about that, but then I'm like, no, my house is my sanctuary. I love it. I feel like when I get up in the morning, I look out my back, I feel like I would pay, like I would pay in a hotel to stay like in a place and have this view and look at out my back. And I'm so lucky for having that. So I really appreciate it. So I feel like my house is really a home and really authentic. And then when I was reading her story for the day about your house and being authentic, home is the space where you should feel, as she says, feel safe, rested, stimulated, happy, comfortable, where you can be truly you, more so than anywhere else. And you should feel that when you walk in the door. When you walk in the door, you should feel sheltered. She quotes an author, Jane Alexander, and Jane says, when we walk through our front door, we should be able to leave the stresses and strains of the outside world. A home should provide us with a sanctuary for the soul, a haven for the senses, end quote. And I really loved that. And I can relate because I feel that way. But what Sarah says is many women don't feel that way, that they don't feel that sanctuary feeling when they enter their house. They don't have that feeling of comfort, happiness, stimulation, safety, restfulness. They don't have that. For whatever reason, they don't have that. They don't feel that. And so what she says is that because they can't come into a house that shelters their own body and soul, they run away into the shelter of superficial addictions. I thought, wow, that's a real superficial addictions where the spiritually homeless gather. Wow. That was like spiritually homeless. You know, if you have some sort of an addiction, no matter what that is, something you know, that you obsess about or you do too much of, because, you know, we think addiction, we automatically go to drugs or alcohol or something like that. But there's other kind of addictions. What she points out are some of the different addictions are, of course, drugs and alcohol are some, but she talks, you know, food, shopping, smoking, sex, social media. Like, who isn't addicted to that? Well, on some days, workaholism and perfectionism. I certainly fall into the last two categories, or last three, if you include social media. But back in the day, that's what I did. My superficial addiction was workaholism and perfection. And that's how I lived. And so I really love this whole perspective of your home needing to reflect your authentic self. And I get it. I get it because I feel that way. And you might get it because you don't feel that way. You know, it's funny how sometimes we need the opposite to actually feel it. But I will say that I'm guilty of not being aware of it. And as she says, a lot of us, you know, take it for granted. We just walk, each time we walk in the door, we just like, we're so unaware, you know, maybe we have those good feelings, but we don't really kind of connect the dots in terms of this is that I love walking in my front door. And if you put on the abundant mindset, you know, it starts with awareness, right? Come in the door and, you know, think about, you know, the things that you love and how authentic you feel when you walk through the doorway to your home. So, and that was so powerful to me, where the spiritually homeless gather. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Cause they're escaping into those addictions. Right. So she goes on and she has some suggestions on things to actions to take that can help you move into like thinking about or putting more authenticity into your home, more of you into your home. And so I have like these, questions to ask you first. And then these kind of three pointers that she come from her really suggestions and maybe my spin on them. Oh, and I love this quote too, that she says, the size of your house is not related to the size of your soul, but the condition of your dwelling does present a picture of the conditions of your being, body, mind, and spirit. So the questions that I pose are, how does your house reflect your mind, body, and spirit? Does it reflect you? Does it reflect your authentic self, or does it reflect someone else? someone you think you should be, or does it reflect someone who someone else wants you to be? So are you living with someone who the house is all about that person's tastes, places, decorations, all that stuff, and you're just doing what appeases that person, which we can be guilty of. I've been very lucky. I've had two husbands, and the first one didn't care how I decorated. He agreed with everything. And the second one, he wants to have input, but he and I, you know, we agree on, we like the same things. So that is really helpful. I'm not a contemporary type of person. I'm not so much, I like windows, but I don't like glass and chrome and modern sleek kind of stuff. That to me is kind of cold, but that's just my opinion. I like the traditional furniture, the dark wood, the cushiony things. So my home does reflect me, does reflect. I feel like I'm not trying to, when I come in here, it's not somebody, I fit right in. And that's what I think it means. If your home is authentic. So I thought this was such an interesting concept about, you know, when I teach about authenticity, it's all about the body really and the spirit. But the external influences about your authenticity and how that shows up was just a new perspective. And I feel that I operate very abundantly about my home, but some of this stuff that she suggests, I thought was something that I should take kind of a new look at, kind of like see what areas in my house could be more authentic, right? Maybe it's a good conversation to have with my husband as well. But she says to become a dispassionate detective. So if you're asking yourself these questions, take a little tour around your home and start to see what surrounds us daily that we need to get rid of. And she used, and I thought I can relate to this and probably you can too. Do you have anything in your house that somebody gave you as a gift and you really don't like it, and but you're just doing it because they come over to your house and they're probably going to see that it's not there anymore. So, but it's not you authentically. So she gave this example of, she was got this turn of the century China lamps. And they were shaped like urns. She's a very descriptive writer, so it was really funny. And I won't go into all the entire description, but they were basically green, pink, and gold. And she said they were hideous. And she had them for years. She kept them for years in like her main room. And then she realized that she cringed every time she walked in the room. And it was because of those lamps. So going around and looking at your space and seeing what is here that is making me feel icky. look around, see what is hideous. It's, you know, this will be a good spring cleaning project, right? Yeah. It made me think of a decoration, a Christmas decoration we got. And every Christmas I get out this decoration and I'm like, I think it's been like three Christmases now. And I finally said to my husband, I said, can we just give this back to your mom? Can we give this back to your mom? And it was so funny because this probably happens. You might even do this, but she had gone somewhere and it was this huge decorative ornament. It was like the size of like three of my heads. That's how big it was. And first of all, I didn't have any place to put it. And secondly, you know, it's definitely looked like it's all her. If I looked at that and I thought, yeah, your mom would like this. And so she wanted to buy it for herself and she felt guilty when she bought it. So she bought one for me and she bought one for my sister-in-law. And I don't know if my sister-in-law is using hers, but I kept bringing it out every Christmas, but it overwhelmed the room and I really didn't even have a place for it. So I just stuck it in a bowl and it sat on top of this bowl. But it's so true because I had this like feeling every time I walked into the room and I'd look at that and I'd say, ugh, you know, like I just don't like that. And isn't that crazy? So when I'm thinking about her lamps, that came to mind fortunately, it was just a Christmas thing, so I could put it away after a couple of months. It seems so silly now when I'm talking about it. But the second thing she said is, what mementos of your past help or hinder your movement into the future? So do you have anything sitting around that, and I was like, the hindering part was really, that really caught me off guard. I was like, what can hinder you? And then what came to mind for me is, and then don't you want things that help you? So replace those things that hinder you with things that help you, like things that make you feel really good. And like, I don't know, maybe it's a vision board on your refrigerator. But the hindering, what came to me was, I had an envelope of old pictures and cards of an old boyfriend. And I, even though they weren't where I could see them every day, they were downstairs in my basement in a box. And I knew they were there. So they were in my mind, but I didn't think about them every day. So it wasn't like every time I walked in my house, I saw them. But we moved quite a bit in my first marriage. So we like every 4 years we'd move into a new house, and after 25 years of marriage, that's a few moves, right? So, but when we would move, I would come to that box and I would see that box and I'd be like, why am I keeping this? In a way, it was kind of hindering me. It was keeping me back in those memories, right? And I made a decision every time we moved. No, I'm not going to throw them away. I'm going to keep them and I'm going to move them to the next house in a way that kind of, that did hinder me. But ultimately, I think it helped me because I ended up calling that person that who had the pictures inside the envelope, and we are now married today. So that's an episode I've done before, so you can go back and look for that. But when I was thinking, when she was saying like what mementos are sitting around, and she said hinder, I was like, ooh, maybe that's something that would fall into that category. It's worth thinking about at least, right? What are you carrying around? You know, are there things in your house that just don't need to be there anymore? Maybe even look in your closet, like, are there clothes in there that are hindering you, cluttering things up, right? So the other thing she said is, do you have your own authentic sacred spaces? A spot where you feel most happy, like you've walked into a place that feels almost magical. She used the phrase of you feel whole, you feel whole. And one of the authors that she quotes, she says sacred comes from the root word meaning whole. To be your own sacred self, holy you, then is to be connected to that divine spirit, God, Mother Earth, and universal life force, however you perceive it. And so you know, you have a spot, and the spot makes you feel whole, makes you feel your most authentic self. And when I heard that suggestion, going around looking for a sacred spot, do you have a sacred spot? Do you have a place where you go that is like your favorite place to go? The space that I feel like now is my most sacred space here is this little alcove that's off our kitchen that was a dinette, a kitchen dinette set was in there that we never sat on because we're super casual and we have a dining room table that's kind of casual. It looks formal, but it's in a casual way. I don't know how else to describe it. We have a very open floor plan. So we have also an island with a you can sit at the island and eat at the island. We also sit a lot at the coffee table. So we're just very, very casual people. So we really never sat at the dinette, and it was just a collection place for more papers. My husband does real estate. So he always papers everywhere, folders everywhere. So the more tables we have in the house, the more papers we'll collect there. So it was kind of wasted space. And one day my younger daughter said, Mom, you should make that into like a sitting area. I was like, oh my gosh, what a great idea. I didn't even have that idea. So I went to work and we sold dinette. It was my husband's. So I had to clear it with him, but he was fine with it. And we had, he had bought a leather sofa at an estate sale that we didn't need, a pull-out leather sofa at an estate sale that we didn't need. And so I'm like, what are we going to do with that? So, and unbeknownst to me is we had a couch in our basement that he didn't like so much in the basement. I guess he likes it enough because I moved it up to my sacred space. So I had this extra couch and I was like, okay, I'll move that couch up. It was the right color. It blended. And I put it in this little alcove and we had an old coffee table that was in our furnace room. We moved that into the space. And then I have two fountains I had on my porch. I moved one of the fountains into the alcove and it is the most amazing little space. I go there and I do my morning ritual. I sit there and I look outside. It's got a beautiful view and that is my sacred space. So when she said, do you have your own authentic sacred space or spaces? Cause you can have more than one, a spot where you feel most happy. That is my happy place. That is the place I feel whole. That is a place where Lori is Lori. My most authentic self just shines. That's where I connect. You know, that's where I do my meditations. That's where I do my affirmations. That's my place. And to think, this has just been in the past few months. I haven't even had that space for a whole year yet. And we've been in this house, I think 8 years now. So you can make your sacred space at any time. So just look around, see what you can convert and have it be totally yours. So maybe that's another reason why this part about your home being kind of a place of authenticity. And I really, when I was going through these daily segments that she writes about, it was like, whoa, yes, I so get that. It's so interesting when you can read a passage and then these things come to mind that are so relatable to your own life. And that's one thing I love about this book. And that's one thing that I love about, you know, looking at everything from a different perspective too, because like what I'm learning through abundance is like flipping the switch on the brain and looking at everything with through a different filter. So I love that. So I'm going to end. And again, if you want to know what these three things are, let me crinkle my paper. So the three things again are look for what surrounds you daily that you need to get rid of that makes you like the hideous lamps. What just doesn't make you happy? And then what mementos of your past help or hinder your movement into the future? So look around to see, you want more of obviously what helps you and less of what hinders you. And then three, look for a sacred space, create a sacred space. Do you have one? What is it? And if you don't have one, make one. I like the desk I'm sitting at right now, but you know, I think now that I have my little stand, I'm going to have it. It's going to be a lot more usable, but I really like the environment in here. My dog loves it too. He gets under the sofa and he gets under the sofa and waits for me to finish my work, but he sleeps. Cause there's a patio door, right? So he goes under the couch and looks out the patio door. So that's really what he does. All right. So, and then what I'll end with is I thought this was a really good quote. So this quote is from Catherine Robin, and she says, sacred space feels inspiring, peaceful, comforting, or healing to body, mind, and spirit. When that space is your own house, it is easier to feel whole and connected in your daily life. I think in closing, what I just want to, how to wrap this up is that I really want everyone to live their authentic life. And when you don't live authentically, you can't shine your brightest. I know that to be true. I've seen it in my students. I've seen it in myself. When you really live from that authentic place, and it's not only just knowing yourself, what you love, what you like to do, it's like immersing yourself in it. And not fighting for approval, not fighting for recognition, not fighting for acceptance. because you will ultimately be accepted more for your authentic self than when you try to be somebody you're not. And so when you are striving to be your authentic self, your environment plays so much into that, and where you spend your time and your house, your home, since you're there pretty much most of the time, most of us are, you're pretty much, especially with COVID, right? We spent more time in our house. And if your house didn't feel like a home, and if you were one of those people who felt like you had to escape into that, those addictions, because you didn't feel like you were in an authentic place, you weren't comfortable in your own home, you know, you couldn't come and have it be your sanctuary, then that plays into it. That plays into whether you can really live authentically or not. Because when you're in an environment that doesn't allow you to be authentic, then you hide that authenticity. So I hope this helped. It was a different take on abundance. Well, as she said, and what I started with, you know, she started the month talking about order and a sense of order and having decluttering and making the space so that when you look around, it just kind of brings you happiness. You're not, you, like when you look around at clutter, it's kind of stressful. And then she kind of moved into like this whole thing about authenticity. And then when you have that sacred space, you can sit there and appreciate it, right? And the abundance comes with that when you're in that happy place. And that's what abundance is feeling this deep sense of joy for where you are at the moment. And you should be in your happy place, right? Until next time, adios.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own, not your average, life.